Over the past couple of weeks since the election of Barack Obama as the 44th President of the United States, we've been looking ahead to what his policy pronouncements will be in a variety of areas, from the war on terror to the economy to health care to missile defense, and now in terms of our climate. Of course, Barack Obama is among those who believe climate change is occurring and that it's man-made, and that there needs to be significant policy changes, both environmentally and economically, in order to potentially reverse that. With me now to talk about what Obama might have in mind for the United States over at least the next 4 years is Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg, one of the most knowledgeable people on the issue of climate change. And Dr. Ball, it's always great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, already we're hearing a couple of things that suggest that climate change is going to be a major issue in the Obama administration. Number one, he articulated that very thing to a group of governors over the past several days, saying he's looking forward to working with them and expecting help from them in enacting an agenda. And also, one of the reasons that he's apparently considering Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State is because of her passionate opinion that the U.S. needs to do more to be a leader in terms of climate change. What has Obama said, and what is the track record in terms of what they would actually pursue on this front, given what they've said and what their actions suggest?
Well, of course, the important point to note is that McCain also bought into the idea that climate change is a problem, and it's based around the idea, and I was glad you modified your comment by saying climate change due to humans. One of the problems we've got is that the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the UN agency, which is the basis for all these people's positions from Obama to McCain to leaders around the world, they only look at human causes of climate change. They don't look at natural variability. And, of course, until you know how much the climate varies naturally, you can't possibly determine what percentage of it is due to humans. And when you do look at that, as I've done for a long time, you realize that the effects of humans, particularly CO2, is simply so small that you couldn't measure it. And so they're basing their whole policy on a false science basis, and they're committed to it. Unfortunately, it's one of these issues that provides a wonderful lever if you want to push your own economic and political policies, particularly if you want to control people. And it's an emotional and very, very useful device to say, hey, you know, we're saving the planet. And I think it was H.L. Mencken once said that, you know, anybody that tells you want to save the Earth is not to be trusted at all, that they're actually looking for power. And so the whole climate issue provides a wonderful vehicle for saying, no, we need more government, we need more government control. And so that's part of it. The other thing is that, of course, Kyoto, which is due to come up in 2012, it expires at that point if it isn't renewed. Even if they implemented all of the original targets for Kyoto, that is, every country got involved and reduced their CO2 levels, and by the way, nobody has done that, haven't even come close, no scientist would be able to measure the difference in CO2 in the atmosphere. So that's the focus. That I think, is the agenda. It provides a wonderful agenda for government control and an expansion of government, and of course a lot of people see as problematic.
Let's talk about a couple of things you just pointed out there, Dr. Ball. If, in fact, climate change and the assumption that climate change is man-made and a detriment to our being able to survive in future generations, what then have been the natural steps potentially in other countries that we've already seen on this front of how they try to gather more power and impose that upon the public?
Well, of course, right in my own province here in British Columbia, they introduced a carbon tax, and those sorts of things are being kicked around everywhere. And and of course, you control by taxation. You the more money you can get, and then you can also legislate through that way. Obama, for example, has openly said that he wants to declare CO2 a pollutant. And once you put things on the list of pollutants, then you have enormous government control. And in Canada here, for example, they declared it a toxic substance. And I understand Obama's talking about the same thing. And as soon as you get into those issues of pollution and health control and all the other things, government have enormous power and devices. Greg, for a while, I sort of tongue-in-cheek said that I was going to get power of attorney for the plants, so that when votes came up on reducing CO2, I could vote on behalf of all the plants of the world who would suffer from a reduction in CO2. And, of course, that's not quite so funny as I originally intended it, because that's certainly what they're looking at doing. And, of course, the other thing that's interesting about this is that the assumption that warming is necessarily all bad. I mean, another part of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change study, they've got three groups, three working groups, as they call them, 2,500 people in total. Only 600 of those are looking at the science, and they're not, very few of them are qualified. But the other 1,900 are looking at the impacts of climate, or warming in particular, and then climate change more recently, on the planet. And they start with accepting the finding of the science group. And, of course, they find that CO2 is the cause, and it's humans that are doing it. And so all of the harum-scarum things you hear about warming, and it's all negative, that this is going to be a catastrophe, and that's droughts and all of these other things. In fact, for a great part of the world, warming would be beneficial. I mean, a lot of Canada can't wait to have some warmer temperatures. It reduces fuel consumption. It increases the area in which we can grow crops. It helps plants worldwide in areas that they can move into. And the argument that warming would increase droughts is counterintuitive, because the reality is, if you warm the world, you get more evaporation, more moisture in the atmosphere, more rainfall, not less. So, and it's interesting, because the most nasty attacks I got was an article that I did saying, hey, look, there's a lot of benefits to warming. Why are you only looking at the bad things? And the other part of that is that all of these governments are preparing for warming, when in fact they should be preparing for cooling, because warming generally is much easier to handle and less problematic for most of the world, whereas cooling is devastating. And you go back to the 1970s, and the CIA were doing reports on the threats of cooling at that time, and the loss of world food production. Far more people die from cold than warm, even now, contrary to what you're hearing. And so the whole thing has become so confused, misunderstood, exploited for political purposes, that reason and rationality has gone out the window.
A couple minutes left in our conversation here with Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. And Dr. Ball, you mentioned a few minutes ago the study done by the panel commissioned by the United Nations. So many folks who are convinced that global warming is going to be disastrous and is clearly man-made point to that panel as the proof, but you just said that they have said that human output of CO2 is immeasurable. So why do those scientists then conclude that human activity is, in fact, a major contributing factor?
Well, what they've done within the IPCC is that they focused only on CO2. And they did this, I think, because of political reasons. Maurice Strong, who was the founder of that organization through the United Nations Environment Program, he, by the way, is working with George Soros in China right now. But they, he said that the problem for the planet are the industrialized nations, and isn't it our responsibility to get rid of them? How would you do that? I mean, you can shut down the energy to these nations, but people would scream immediately, and the increase in gas prices prove that. But you could, if you point out that the CO2, the byproduct of these industrial nations, is causing climate change and destroying the planet, then you can effectively shut them down. And that's been behind what we've seen with all of this environmental movement, particularly climate change part of it, is shutting down industry, shutting down and say, oh, it's carbon, it's CO2, it's killing the planet. The only place in anywhere where CO2 causes temperature to increase is in the models, the computer models that the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change use. Everywhere else in the world, the temperature increases before the CO2, not as they have programmed into their computers.
Last 30 seconds here. Dr. Ball, we know that there may be some legislative initiatives from the Obama administration that could be burdensome upon the American people. But in other places where that's been tried, the public's kind of fighting back.
Yes, and certainly, as I said, in Britain, where they did, a poll was done by the Observer newspaper, a very respectable one, showing 83% of the population just didn't buy the science of it. And they're quite justified in that position. As you know, and I've watched this. I mean, I'm in the fourth climate cycle of my life. And when I started out in my career, global cooling was the threat. And thank goodness we didn't respond to that. What would we have done then? Added CO2 to the atmosphere? And so if you don't understand the problem and start trying to legislate and solve it, you more than likely are going to end up creating more problems.
Dr. Ball, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, sir, very good of you to spend some time with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg, this is Dateline Washington.